Welcome to OSHA Law Blog Live, Jackson Lewis's podcast devoted to workplace safety and health issues and developments. I'm Brad Hammack, co-chair of Jackson Lewis's Workplace Safety and Health Practice Group. It's season 3, episode 1. And today we're going to do something a little bit different in the podcast. This is the first of a 4-part podcast series devoted to how to handle an OSHA inspection. This is a little different from our updates podcast devoted to a variety of developments, particularly with the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. It's designed to give employers and other stakeholders a sense, some tips about how to handle an OSHA inspection. Obviously, this is something that all employers have to think about and should be thinking about. And these are meant to be practical tips. This is not meant to be a comprehensive advice session on how to handle an OSHA inspection. But hopefully, if you listen to all 4 parts of this podcast series, you'll have a sense and you'll have an idea about how best to handle an OSHA inspection for your organizations. So there are 4 parts of the podcast, as I stated. One is this one, dealing with pre-inspection preparation. We will also talk in the upcoming podcasts on how to handle an opening conference and learning about the scope of an inspection, some tips about actually managing the conduct of the inspection that occurs. And finally, the 4th podcast will be devoted to what I term post-citation considerations. So let's get started. As folks know who have listened to this before, these podcasts are short, 10 to 15 minute podcasts devoted to the topic. So let's dive right into pre-inspection preparation. This, of course, is the key to effectively managing an OSHA inspection. It is critical that employers have thought ahead of time about what to do if an OSHA compliance officer shows up for an inspection. The first thing that probably everyone is listening to this knows and understands that it's important to focus on basic safety and health compliance in advance of an OSHA inspection. No matter what we talk about over the next 4 series of podcasts, the key to handling and managing an OSHA inspection effectively is to have a strong safety and health program with management leadership, hazard identification and control, evaluation and training. It's important to have those pieces in place. And in addition, it's important to understand and think about compliance. OSHA compliance is related to safety and health, but it is its own thing. And so employers need to understand which particular OSHA standards apply to their operations and ensure that they understand those requirements and have implemented them in their work sites. So obviously, first and foremost, in preparing for an OSHA inspection, that one key is to be in compliance with OSHA standards. That sort of goes without saying, but I want to emphasize it at the start of this podcast series. Second, you need to prepare for an OSHA inspection. You need to prepare your work sites for an inspection. And what does that mean? It means, first of all, understanding and knowing what your overall approach will be when OSHA comes knocking at your door to conduct an inspection. Many employers will actually put together a written protocol for how to handle an OSHA inspection. This protocol will deal with things like who should interface with an OSHA compliance officer, where would an opening conference take place, what is the organizational hierarchy that should be involved during an OSHA inspection. As I said, many companies put this in writing. That is not necessary, but it's important, in my view, for all employers to sit down and think about what their overall approach will be to handling an inspection. What types of questions will you ask the compliance officer when the compliance officer comes to the door and has the opening conference? These are the types of things that need to be thought of ahead of time. Because what you don't want to have happen is a compliance officer show up at your doorstep and have someone at your facilities or your work sites interacting with that compliance officer in a way that is not consistent with your company philosophy. So you have to think about what that's going to be in advance. Once you have determined about what that process is and what that protocol is, you have to communicate that to your work sites. Oftentimes, companies will develop a protocol, but the people on the ground who are at the work sites who might be interfacing with an OSHA compliance officer have no idea what that protocol or that process is. After developing the protocol and the process, that has to be communicated to your work sites. A couple of key parts of the protocol are things that I alluded to just moments ago. And that is identifying someone at each of your work sites who will be the designated person to interface with the OSHA compliance officer when the OSHA compliance officer comes on site. There should be one person designated per shift, or however often the work site is open when an OSHA compliance officer could attend. That person also needs to be trained not only in OSHA requirements, OSHA compliance, your safety and health program, but also in the protocol that you've developed for managing an OSHA inspection. It is critical that you designate that person. I also alluded to the fact that it's critical that you identify a place in the worksite to have available for the variety of meetings that are going to take place in the course of the OSHA inspection. We'll be talking about these over the next three or four podcasts. There's an opening conference that's involved. There could be employee and management interviews that take place. There could be a closing conference that takes place. There needs to be a location designated in the facility for these things to occur. All employers should think about where that's going to be in their facilities ahead of time. You should also be some analysis of what type of access that's going to be granted to the compliance officer. What types of questions are going to be asked? What's the scope of the inspection? These are things that we'll talk about in more detail later on in this podcast series. But the key is every employer has to think about these things in advance. In addition, there are certain records and documents that every employer should make sure that they have available and that they are comprehensive, thorough, complete, and detailed. First and foremost, OSHA record-keeping logs. In the course of almost every OSHA inspection, one of the first things that the compliance officer is going to request is a copy of your OSHA 300 logs, right? In fact, you're required to make these available to compliance officer after request within 4 hours. All employers should take some time to review their record-keeping logs, make sure they are accurate, make sure they are thorough, and make sure that they are readily available to a compliance officer. In the course of an OSHA inspection, oftentimes OSHA record-keeping logs will be the very first thing that a compliance officer sees at the worksite. It really gives that initial impression to the compliance officer on how seriously an employer takes safety and health issues in the workplace. If an employer has, as I said, thorough, detailed, comprehensive, accurate record-keeping logs, it creates the impression to the compliance officer that this employer values safety and health. So I can't emphasize enough the importance of focusing on OSHA record-keeping generally, but making sure an employer's OSHA 300 logs are accurate, thorough, and look professional. It's like the saying, you never get a second chance to make a good first impression. That is oftentimes the first impression that a compliance officer gets during the course of an inspection. It's important for those to be accurate, thorough, and look professional. In addition, the person who's designated to interface with the compliance officer needs to understand where various aspects of your safety and health program are located. Oftentimes, depending upon the scope of the inspection, there will be requests made for various types of safety programs. For example, a lockout tagout program, hazard communication program. The person interfacing with OSHA needs to understand where these things are and needs to be able to readily speak to them, or if appropriate, depending upon the organization's approach to the inspection, be able to provide them to the compliance officer. Again, the key is to give the impression to the compliance officer that you're invested in safety and health, you take it seriously, you're aware of your safety and health requirements, and you run a professional operation with respect to that. The other thing that I would note is in many instances, a compliance officer will ask for an employer's PPE hazard assessment. That's the personal protective equipment hazard assessment. at the work site. They do this for a number of reasons, but one of which is so that they understand what types of personal protective equipment they might need to wear in the course of their inspection. Again, like the OSHA 300 logs, employers need to have this document readily available if requested, and it should be thorough, accurate, and up to date. The key to prepare for an OSHA inspection, aside from making sure that you're compliant and you're generally investing in the safety and health of your work sites, is to have thought about all of these things in advance of OSHA showing up. That's what sets the stage. First of all, it sets the stage because the compliance officer knows that you're prepared, knows that you're professional, know that you've thought about these things in the context of safety and health. And you also don't get caught surprised as an organization, because the people on the ground have been trained and understand what your company's approach is going to be to handling the OSHA inspection. And so if you do all those things in advance, the rest of the inspection should proceed much more smoothly. And we'll be talking about the other three parts of that in the next several podcasts. But the first part, which is the pre-inspection preparation, is probably the most important. And it involves preparing from a safety and health standpoint, but preparing your folks also simply from a procedural process standpoint, involving decisions that you've made in advance about how the conduct of the inspection is going to proceed. I hope you found this first of four podcasts helpful, and stay tuned for the second one, which should be coming within the next week. Thank you.